We have two readings. The first is Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 3, and it's on page 529 of the church Bibles. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. The second reading is Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 16. It's on page 683. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven."
Blessed. You are blessed. This is the first words that Jesus speaks in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed. This is the person who is blessed. But the crowd, the disciples, they might be thinking, how is this person blessed? It doesn't sound blessed, does it? Poor in spirit, mourning, meek, persecuted. And they might be thinking, I don't feel particularly blessed. The first century Jew, under Roman rule, governed by Gentiles. Yet Jesus says, blessed. Blessed is this person. So I say to you this morning, you are blessed. This is true for us as well. But maybe you're sitting there, and you don't feel particularly blessed right at the moment. It's a very positive word, isn't it? Blessed. It's a word that you'd like to hear. To have blessing, to be blessed. For someone to say to you, blessed. To be blessed is to what? It's to receive something good. To have things in your favour. My nephew had his party yesterday and he was blessed with good weather. George is blessed to have lots of good friends. Biblically, blessed is to be approved, to find approval. And for Jesus to say, you are blessed, adds even more weight to it. I don't know about you, but I love words of affirmation. Now, I haven't read that Chapman book, Five Love Languages, but I reckon for me, affirmation would rate highly. Do you like being affirmed? Well, there's nothing like being approved by God to receive blessing by Jesus himself. And that's what's happening here. So come with me. And let's have a look at the person who is blessed. And I come see afresh how these words are true for you this morning. Now, as we do this, just remember the context. Jesus has been preaching this message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. He's been going around preaching the good news of the kingdom. That is the rule of God. The long-awaited kingdom of God, and he's been healing every kind of sickness and disease, been giving people a glimpse into that kingdom of heaven. And now, with his disciples gathered around and all the crowd there, what's he going to say? What's he going to say to them? Well, he proclaims blessing. He proclaims blessing upon the people. This is the person who is blessed. He gives eight really short blessings to form a complete picture of the person who is blessed. Sort of like maybe if you might have it in your hand, a new smartphone. And maybe when it's been advertised, you're given eight different shots of it or eight different features that make the complete picture of the smartphone. In the same way, here we have eight characteristics, and they define the person who is blessed. The poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted. Now, it hardly sounds like blessing, does it? But Jesus says, these people are blessed. Blessed is this person. And it's so opposed, isn't it, to what the world says. What the world today says, and also the world back in the first century. So how can Jesus say this? How is this blessing? Why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They will be comforted. They will inherit the earth. They will be filled. They will be shown mercy. They will see God. They will be called sons of God. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now that does sound like blessing, doesn't it? The result of all these things very much sounds like blessing and a very positive things. And notice that the book ends in verse 3 and verse 10. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This person is part of the kingdom. And it doesn't get more blessed than that. Whatever else might be happening in their life, this person is part of the kingdom. Let's have a look at a few of these characteristics. First one, poor in spirit. Another way to say it, blessed are the spiritually bankrupt. Blessed are those who see their state before God. That they are nothing and they plead for his mercy. The word poor, it's an image of being destitute, like a beggar. It describes that the beggar on his knees, hands out, pleading, poor in spirit, is being spiritually destitute and relying entirely upon the grace of God. It's like we stand stripped before God. We've got nothing except to plead for his mercy. This person is blessed, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven belongs to those who see that they need God, but that on our own we can't do it, that we're not good enough. We need God. This person is blessed. Oh, to realize, to get to that point where we realize that the desperate plight before God, and just to throw ourselves at his feet, that person is blessed. Is that you? This is so hard for us, because we are self-sufficient. We want to do it ourselves. We like to think that we're not that bad. And that's what the world tells us as well. That's what our sinful nature tells us. We're not that bad. But that is a lie. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's how Jesus starts. Now, we're not going to go through all eight features, eight characteristics, but let me give you some. The next one, those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, when we mourn, we want to be comforted, don't we? Well, Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, I take this to be the emotion that goes with being poor in spirit. When we realize our desperate situation before God, when it all comes down to us, when we see that the blackness of our sin and just how bad it is, then the right response is to mourn over it. To hate it so much that we mourn. Mourning for sin expresses genuine sorrow for sin. Do I mourn over my sin? What is your response to sin in your life? Do you sit comfortably with that sin in your life, or do you mourn over it? What's the comfort that comes? For us, I take it to be the forgiveness, especially when we go to the cross and we know that Jesus has died for our sin. And that is where he forgives us for our sin. So it's great comfort to know the forgiveness that is yours in the Lord Jesus, in his blood, what he has done for you. So mourn, yes, but be comforted that for you trusting in Jesus now, there is no condemnation because you have been forgiven. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Meek does not mean weak. I came across this line during the week of what meek is not. He is not so unsure of himself that he could be pushed over by the hard slap of a wet noodle. Now, that is not what it is to be meek. When you look at examples in the Bible of Moses, of Jesus, of others who are meek, they are strong people. All right, they are not weak people. It's not a word that we use or we hear a whole lot today, is it? Meek. I think it's got a lot to do with humility, which makes sense in light of the first two characteristics. Knowing our situation before God, knowing the grace of God upon us, we've got to be humble, don't we? When we come to God, there is nothing that we bring ourselves. We have nothing to boast in except Christ Jesus himself. He has picked us up from the floor. We were lying flat on the floor. He has raised us up. And the meek will inherit the earth or the land. Or for us, is that the kingdom to come? One more. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Hunger and thirst. Perhaps for many of us, that's a feeling that we can really only imagine. That intense longing for food and drink. There's something raging inside and you have those hunger pains. Now, for most of us, I imagine that doesn't last too long because we have a kitchen full of food. But to really hunger and thirst. Here, it's a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, for right living under God. John Piper says this is the key to Christian living, to have a hunger and thirst for God. And again, it flows on, doesn't it, from what we've already said. We acknowledge our desperate situation before God. And that is our life. He has saved us. And so now we strongly desire to follow his ways, not our ways. Our hunger, our thirst is for him, for his ways. We want his ways to be our ways. Now, the psalmist speaks of this. Now, it'll come up on the screen. The words from Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? If only that was true for me more often. To have that real, deep, intense hunger and thirst for God, for his righteousness. There are four of the eight blessings. I'm going to leave the rest for you to consider yourself, to read, to think about yourself in your life group. But can you start to see that the picture that this is giving us of the person who is blessed? Let's join some dots as we think more about what this is saying for us, for our life. So, first one, what I love about these blessings, Jesus just strips us bare, doesn't he? He strips us bare. And if you have in mind, with all the commands and the call of what we are to do, which is to follow in the Sermon on the Mount, the starting point is being stripped bare. It's like we come before God naked and we've got nothing ourselves. It is all him. In a moment we're gonna sing this song. Here's a verse which sums it up so well. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Naked come to you for dress. Helpless look to you for grace. Stained by sin, to you I cry. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. I love those words. And so this makes me think that everything that does follow in the Sermon on the Mount, the calls, the command to live a certain way, it is possible. It is possible for us to live, but only in God, only in Christ, who enables us to be able to do it. And unlike the first hearers, we have the Holy Spirit. We are not alone. We have God with us, who gives us the strength and enables us to live his way. Okay, join some more dots. What we've seen so far, verses 3 to 10, It's all a picture of grace. Everything so far, it's a picture of grace. What follows, verses 11 to 16, is a picture of making a difference. There's a shift. Now have a look, see if you can see it. Jesus turns from blessed are, all those eight blessings. He says blessed are, one after another. And then it's like there's a shift. He then eyeballs them. And then he says, you are blessed. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I wonder if they believed him when Jesus spoke those words. Are they believing him? Or are they just sitting there doubting and saying, yeah, right. It's really quite incredible how this could be true. The Jew is pretty downtrodden. Today, the Christian, not loved by everyone. But Jesus says, you are blessed. Even when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. I was just the other week, Rob and Arabelle Horn in Leipzig, Germany, they asked us to pray for them, and especially for two of their girls, Claudia and Francesca. So I think they're 12 and 10. So in their class, they've been hassled for being a Christian, being given a hard time, not just by their other classmates, but by their teacher as well. These girls, they're standing firm as Christians. They're saying, yes, we believe in Jesus. And they're being given a hard time by those around them. That's an encouragement to me, that they continue to go on trusting, believing in Jesus, despite when people insult and say all sorts of things. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Salt makes a difference. For us, it makes a difference to taste. For them, it made a difference as a preservative. They didn't have fridges like we do. You might even have another fridge in your garage just for drinks. They used salt as a preservative. But when salt loses its saltiness, it's not good for anything. It's not going to add taste. You add salt and it's lost its saltiness. It's not going to do anything. Same as a preservative. If it's lost its saltiness, it's not going to do its job. So I think Jesus here, I think this is a bit of a rebuke to them as well. It's like as he says all these blessings, it's like here he gives them a quick, sharp jab to the ribs and he sort of sticks it into them. The Israelites, they were meant to be salt. They were meant to be the light to the world. They were meant to make a difference. But they failed, didn't they? Time after time, they failed. And you know, just a little bit of light makes a big difference in a dark room. One little light lights up a whole dark room. But not if that light is hidden. If the light is hidden, then it's not doing its job and it's not going to make a difference. As God's people, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. As God's people, we will make a difference. But the Israelites failed. So what's going to be any difference now? Won't these people fail? Won't we fail? Just like they had right throughout the Old Testament? Well, no. Because at this point, there's been a game changer. What is the game changer? Jesus has come. Jesus has come. He not only speaks these words, he embodies them. He not only speaks these words, he's the one to bring these blessings. We read Isaiah 61 before. Jesus is the one who comes and gives these blessings. He himself. Isaiah 61 said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." Jesus fulfills this. He is the one who not only speaks these words, he is the one who brings these blessings to these people. So if you want to be blessed, you need Jesus. That's the grace, receiving blessing. It's been given to you for free. For just coming at the foot of the cross, you receive Jesus, you receive blessing, you receive forgiveness, this life. Now, for most of us, I know we have received this, that you have gone to the cross, that you have confessed your sin, and that you know that there's nothing that we ourselves can bring. You know that it's all God. We need to keep, every day, we need to start our day at the foot of the cross. In humility, knowing it's grace. We are only who we are in Christ because of His grace. Once we've got Jesus, then He's the one who makes a difference. Because it's in His strength that we can live for Him. We can be salt and light. We can make a difference. And look at what can result. Verse 16. "In the same way, let your light shine before men, and women and boys and girls, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So your life can bring praise and glory to God, our Father in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Your life can bring praise and glory to God the Father. All right. Well, what are we going to take with us? Do you see? You are blessed. You are blessed. Now, you are blessed in a whole number of ways. We are all blessed just by living in Sydney. We are blessed. But that's not what Jesus says here. Are you blessed in the way Jesus defines it? If you've got Jesus, then you are blessed. Whatever else might be happening in your life, if you've got Jesus, you are blessed. For yours is the kingdom of heaven. So take that with you today. Know that you are blessed. And grace. Take grace with you as well. That is the way that you are blessed. The grace that God has had upon you. That is the only way we can be part of the kingdom. His grace. So take hold of that grace and take that grace with you today. And make a difference. On our own? No. But in Jesus, yes. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the blessing that is ours right now in Jesus. We are so blessed. And it's all by grace. So help us to take hold of that grace and to truly be salt and light, even if that means persecution, that glory would be yours. Amen.